Last week, President Obama released his long-form birth certificate, saying, "We do not have time for this silliness. I've got better stuff to do." Presumably, that included the secret operation targeting bin Laden. Now, Janie Scott has published a new book about President Obama's genuine family history and how he was raised. The book is about his mother, Ann Dunham. She died in 1995, the year President Obama's book, Dreams from My Father, was published. That book focused on how Obama's absent Kenyan father affected his life. But in the preface to the 2004 edition, he wrote that had he known his mother was going to die of cancer, he might have written a different book, quote, "less a meditation on the absent parent, more a celebration of the one who is the single constant in my life." Janie Scott is a New York Times reporter currently on leave who wrote several profiles of Obama during the presidential campaign and wrote a profile of his mother that led to her new book, A Singular Woman. Janie Scott, welcome to Fresh Air. As you were doing your research about President Obama's mother, you watched the birther movement grow. What did you make of that?
Well, it's interesting. The birther movement kind of began during the campaign when I was actually writing a series of biographical pieces for the New York Times on then-Senator Obama. And then it kind of faded out a bit. So during the period that I was doing most of the research, it wasn't something I was thinking a whole lot about. It was sort of submerged during that period and then was resuscitated by Donald Trump. In the beginning, I really felt, partly because of having spoken to so many people about the circumstances of President Obama's mother's life, and of course that covered his birth, I really had no question where he was born. He was clearly born in Hawaii. When it became more and more pressing in recent months, I went back and, you know, looked at everything that I had ever gathered on that subject. And as I say, it had not been a great preoccupation of mine. And it seemed so clear. So I came to the conclusion that many people have come to, that this is a classic conspiracy theory, and it feeds on information that may well be to the contrary, but is all taken to be evidence of the conspiracy.
In Obama's first memoir, Dreams from My Father, it was focused much more on his father than on his mother. And Obama later said he felt kind of bad about that. Why do you think he focused that book more on his father than his mother, considering what a really exceptional person his mother was?
Well, I think you have to look at when that book came about. He had been elected the first black president of the Harvard Law Review, and he was in the media reaction to that. There were a number of articles in which he spoke more and more about his life at the instigation of reporters who came to write pieces about his election. And he was approached by a literary agent who offered him, suggested to him that he write a book about his life based on, sort of prompted by all the attention that came out then and what an interesting life he clearly had. And so he embarked upon it then, I think. So it was partly that it came out of this moment when he had been, you know, the first black president of the Harvard Law Review. And then he also used it as a way to sort of sort out his racial identity. So I think his focus was really on that. And it's very striking when you look at the articles that were written after his election, how he begins to talk more and more about his father. And his mother is really referred to simply as a white anthropologist from Kansas, which is, of course, the stereotype that kind of came to become what she was known as in the public eye during the campaign and subsequently, the white woman from Kansas. Maybe we knew she was an anthropologist, but probably we didn't. The single mother on food stamps, the woman who died of cancer while fighting with her insurance company at the end of her life.
Well, let's talk about her life. She was a nonconformist even when she was in high school. You described this road trip that she took with some friends to San Francisco. This is when she was living in Washington.
That's right.
The state of Washington, yeah. not Washington,
that's
D.C.
Right. Outside Seattle, she was living at the time in Mercer Island, Washington. And she had been raised in kind of constant motion. Her family had moved after her birth from Kansas to California, back to Kansas, then to Oklahoma, to Texas, back to Kansas, and eventually to Washington. So she had a sort of outsider sensibility of always being new to a place. She was kind of the other. And so she had developed a sort of observer's quality, standing a little bit outside the worlds in which she operated and lived, but also she was kind of the original, you know, participant observer, not unlike the anthropologist she became. So the story you referred to, it was in her senior year in high school. She had a group of friends who were sort of unconventional like her. They were bright. They were kind of insider outsiders in that high school, kind of brainy, interested in being on the cultural cutting edge. And she had been out one night with a couple of guys who were close friends of hers, and they were coming back from maybe a coffee house in Seattle. And the conversation turned to maybe we should not go home. And as you mentioned, they ended, two of them, Anne and one friend, ended up just taking the car and driving to San Francisco, which was considered a rather radical breakout for a kid from Mercer Island High School in 1959-60.
But they didn't stay long because their parents got them to come back home.
Yes, they were busted. Anne's father ended up having to fly down to San Francisco and get them out of juvenile detention and haul them back up to Washington.
Let's talk about how and President Obama's mother first met President Obama's father. He was one of 80 young Kenyans who were flown to the United States by a Kenyan nationalist who'd raised money from Americans to educate a new generation of leaders in anticipation of Kenyan independence. From what you found out from Ann Dunham's friends, Barack Obama Sr. was her first boyfriend.
It does seem that way. No one knew of her ever having a boyfriend in high school. And she arrived, her parents moved to Hawaii right after she graduated from high school. She did not want to go. She wanted to stay and go to the University of Washington or possibly the University of Chicago. But her father in particular, apparently felt she was too young to be on her own like that. So they hauled her off to Honolulu, and she found herself on the campus of the University of Hawaii, which was a rather quiet land-grant institution at that point. Might have felt a bit like a backwater, even to a kid from a suburb of Seattle. And she was somewhat out of place. And in her first few weeks on campus, she met Barack Obama Sr., who is said to have been the first African at the University of Hawaii. Whatever happened very fast, because within a couple of months, she was pregnant. There are several stories about how they met. President Obama, in his memoir, describes them meeting in a Russian language class. Others say they met in the library or on a bench near the library. But it was clearly a sort of cataclysmic collision for her.
Jenny Scott will be back in the second half of the show. Her new book is called A Singular Woman, The Untold Story of Barack Obama's Mother. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Jenny Scott, the author of a new book about President Obama's mother, the late Ann Dunham. It's called A Singular Woman. When we left off, Scott was describing how Dunham met Barack Obama Sr. at the University of Hawaii in the fall of 1960, when she was a 17-year-old freshman and he was 24. Within a couple of months, she was pregnant. Well, they got married, and he neglected to mention to her that he was already married. He not only had a wife, he had a child and a second child on the way. His Kenyan culture was traditionally a polygamous culture. Did he think it was okay to have an American wife and a Kenyan wife? What was the state of his marriage to the woman in Kenya?
There are some accounts that suggest that he led Anne to believe that he was separated, but that there was no legal document suggesting there was any kind of divorce. I can't say exactly what was in his mind. And it's quite conceivable she didn't intend to get pregnant, but once she got pregnant, the thing she wanted to do, as it was described to me by one friend, because she loved him and because she was a good middle-class girl, was to get married. So they were married for a while, but apparently together very briefly. He was gone within 10 months of President Obama's birth, and she appears to have left with her baby and gone to Seattle not long after that birth. So she may even have left before Barack Obama Sr. left.
Their relationship, from how you describe it, changed once they were married.
Yes. One close friend of hers from a later period, but who had heard the whole story from Anne, said that Barack Obama Sr., once they were married, really his attitude changed. He took her for granted in some way that he hadn't in the past, and that she described a scene in which Anne had apparently described to her, in which Anne laid down some dinner for him on the table that she had made, and he looked at it and said, "You expect me to eat this?" Picked it up and hurled it at the wall, and that Anne said to this friend, Caddy Warner, that was the moment where I knew this wasn't going to work.
So she went to Seattle briefly to be with her old friends, but felt very separated from them because they were living the kind of college sorority fraternity life, and she was a single mother. She returns to Hawaii and to the University of Hawaii. At the university, she meets her second husband, Lolo Sotoro, who was from Indonesia and was at the University of Hawaii to study geography. And he was expected to return after college to serve his country, not in the military necessarily, but to serve in some way. So you say in many ways Lolo Sotoro was the opposite of Barack Obama Sr. Describe Lolo Sotoro.